Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Friends, I'm sure that a lot of people, a lot of listeners, those who, in fact, have had any connection with Fordham University would know that the past president of the law school in Fordham, and indeed he's Dean Emeritus, Professor John Feerick, and I'm delighted to welcome you, Professor and John.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be part of this program today. Many years ago, a different subject, I was honored by an interview with you, and I'm pleased to be here today.
I thank you. We're all here, though, and I want to perhaps that you, John Feerick, introduce our guests. One is a very well-known name, indeed. Anybody who has had any connection with Putnam County would well know the name John Mulvihill, and indeed we've met you, John, on many occasions. First of all, you're very welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Adrian. It's a pleasure to be here.
Not that he needs a great build-up or anything, but when you were telling me originally when we were talking about the Kylemore Abbey project and the committee, Friends of Kylemore Abbey, you know, about John Mulvihill, you're very loud in your praise of him, but I was surprised that I didn't know the Mulvihill story as well as you had explained to it.
Thank you very much. Just quick context. My parents were born in County Mayo. Mm-hmm. They were very poor people. We didn't know poverty growing up, even though by present standards we could be defined as in poverty.
From Foxford.
Excuse me?
From Foxford.
My mother was Foxford. My father was Ballinrobe. On my mother's side of the family, she was Mary Jane Boyle. Mm-hmm. Had two brothers who were active participants in the Irish movement for freedom of the country back in the early 1920s and the late. Mm-hmm. In that period, and one was a senior commander in the volunteer forces in that area, my uncle James Boyle. So I grew up with a love of Ireland, and when my parents lost their health, my mother started to lose her memory, and we kept her at home for probably 10 years, and my father had the challenge of my mother. And then he didn't. He had a case of emphysema, and then he had to deal with cancer. Mm. The one dream I had as a kid was to build a house for my parents. They had no money, and I built the house, thanks to savings I had as a practicing lawyer, in Lake Carmel, because I had a small piece of land, and I thought that. I would give my parents the opportunity to have a house again. They grew up in small family farms in County Mayo. And they went into that house about 1975. But as any house, problems would develop. Things weren't functioning. The heat was a problem. Water was a problem. And I was very much about my work as Dean of Fordham Law School and traveling all over the country trying to build support for the school. And I came to learn from my parents there was somebody by the name of John Mulvihill who would always come over to fix whatever didn't work, not at their house, at the house of my uncle who participated in the War of Independence. He lived alone. He died at age 98, Patrick Boyle. And this John Mulvihill did that for everybody in the community. And I said, was he expensive? And they basically said no, he didn't want anything, and they would probably mm-hmm. give him a drink, they would probably give him a dollar or two, and I whatever they were able to, because he wasn't looking for that, and now My parents are long gone, 20 years ago. They died. And I put on a pew in the Carmore Abbey, Gothic Church, their name. And because it was the most beautiful place I saw in Ireland when I made my first visit at age 52. I don't know why I delayed so long. And the sisters of Carmore a year and a half ago called me. I really hadn't any real involvement and said, could I help them build the future of the Abbey? And Sister Mar, Mother Superior, and Sister Magdalena, her predecessor. I said, well, I'm not able to chair a committee because I'm 77 now. And I said, I used to chair committees, but I don't have the energy to do that. I'm still a professor at Fordham Law School. So I asked about six or seven people I know, mostly lawyers, can you help me? And we all had the same thing in common. Our parents were born in Ireland. I said, sure, John, we'll help. And when I realized the kind of help that the sisters needed in terms of building the future of the Abbey, I said, I really got to reach out more broadly to the Irish community. And the person I thought of was John Mulvihill, not because he took care of everybody up there, but because I knew that for 20, 30 years he would bring groups of people to Ireland. And I came to understand from John that he always made Carmore a place where his groups went. And I said, John, can you reach out to your broader community and see if they would be able to help in whatever way they can the sisters who have been there almost 100 years, and they want to remain there. They want to pass on the Abbey and everything over there to their successors, whomever they might be. But they can't do it without all these projects in terms of building the future of the Abbey. So John got involved, John Mulvihill. And one other thing I would say about John Mulvihill, John, for maybe a half a dozen years, I can't put the years on it, has had the challenge of caring for his wife, who is very, very seriously ill, and his two beautiful daughters have helped him care for their mother at home. And last year, he was singled out as the caregiver of the year, he and his daughter, mm-hmm. and was presented an honor at the Yonkers Raceway, the Empire State Visiting Nurses yeah. Association. And I have never met anyone like John Mulvihill. He's a good person. He has no title. He's not a person of substantial means. He has no authority, but he has a lot of authority, moral authority, and love for Ireland. And that's John Mulvihill.
You know, what I've heard, and of course I've met John on numerous occasions, but what I've heard from those who do know John Mulvihill a lot better than I do, he's a great person to stay away from because he would, in fact, John is a doer, and he's got no problem whatsoever in garnering support if it's a good cause. John is there, and also he manages to identify a great number of people who get together with you. So, again, you're very welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian. Well, you know, I guess like as John David said, that we've been doing these tours for probably about 30 years, and always we have included Carmore. Mm. This year we did a complete tour of Ireland, and we made sure that we included Carmore. And this year I found it very, very interesting meeting the Sister Moira out there and being escorted around and having a tour. And we went to the Gothic Church and we made sure that we saw his parents' names on the seats there and the pews. And very, very interesting. And our group were very impressed. And what we've been trying to do now is asking them and parts of our community up there to help out in any way financially that they could maybe help the Carmore Abbey and give it a lift in a way.
Mm-hmm.
We'd appreciate anybody who can help. We are planning some fundraiser probably in the very near future, maybe such as a raffle. which I think would be a good fundraiser. We haven't a committee yet set up, but like I said, we like to set ourselves up with a good, solid committee surrounded by good people. And one of them is sitting here alongside me, Rosemary Kelly. She's been a cornerstone of our Emerald Association for many, many years. And as past president, I have had her work like a dog. And she has been very successful at getting people together and getting membership together.
Let me welcome you, Rosemary Kelly, too, and you're very welcome indeed.
Oh, thank you, Adrian. Thank you very much. John, I'd like to thank you for your kind words. And, of course, I'd be willing to help with your raffle. Kyle Moore was absolutely beautiful. We had brought a group of 49 people on our last trip this September, just a few months ago. And it is beautiful, as everybody here has said, but the flowers and the garden was absolutely gorgeous. And I would love to think that we can help the nuns. I went to Catholic school, Sacred Heart, and it was run by nuns. So I have a good feeling in my heart for them, and I do wish them all the success for their future that they're looking for, and I do hope that we can be part of that and bring them a nice, happy smile.
How long and how did you get together with John Mulvihill, and for that matter, that very well-known tight clique in Putnam County that do so much great work?
Well, actually, when I was quite young, my mother, who was a young widow as well, brought us up to Lake Carmel for the summer. We stayed a week, and we thought it was wonderful. And we lived in the Bronx. When I married, we moved into Parkchester. And as the family grew, we outgrew Parkchester, and we moved up to Lake Carmel. And lo and behold, John was exactly one block from my house. And I'm not quite sure how we got started. I think he waved and said hello, and we waved back, and my son was the same age as one of his sons, and actually his daughter used to take accordion lessons with my children, and so we kind of became friends, and through the Emerald Association, I'm an active member, John's an active member, and we belong to the Putnam Irish. And we're very happy, and we run feshes and dances, and we're always there for people who might need us.
You also, indeed, introduced an Irish radio show up in Putnam County, well,
yes.
The Monclisco area.
It was in Brewster.
Okay,
and it was
Brewster,
in Brewster, Echoes of Ireland. And you might know Felix Dolan. He was
yes,
a musician,
indeed.
Good friend of ours. We danced as well as the children danced. We're very involved with Irish dancing. And actually, I interviewed Felix and his group, and he played music on our radio show. We got all the sports on the radio and anything that we thought that the Irish, you know, would enjoy listening to.
Fantastic. Want to also, while we're speaking with you, I know that there was a period where, again, the Mulvihills, by virtue of, this is going to turn out to be beatification of you, John. You'll ever pretend you don't hear the half.
I'm looking forward to
but,
it.
But the Mulvihills and the tight community organization that was there helpful when you went on to rise in the field of education and go on to an area where indeed it was very necessary to get the neighbors' help. Tell us about that.
Exactly. John Mulvihill will actually help everyone and anyone. He was so good that way. My husband had died young, and I was left with a daughter at that point who wasn't working. And he, and along with some other very good people, Pat Walsh, John Glenn, just to name a few, helped me. We had a bar and I tried to run it, and John Mulvihill helped out, and I don't know what I would have done if I didn't have him all those years ago, and that's well over 31 years now.
Wow.
But he helped everybody, and anybody who needs help or if something's broken, John can fix it. He can repair dishwashers and washing machines and install electric and do all those good things.
You know, it takes more than John Mulvihill to help out. You know, our club was formed in, 1974.
Uh-huh.
And one of our first active members, you probably remember him, was the late Eddie Burke.
Oh, indeed.
And Owen Farrell.
Mm.
And, you know, our club has been there to help out his fellow members during tragedy. You know, for instance, last year, Owen Farrell lost his daughter at a very young age. She was a nurse in Putnam County. She was only, 42. She died of cancer. And just the year before that, then one of our members lost his son and his wife and their two daughters in a tragic fire in Putnam County as well. Tom Sullivan, who was the lieutenant in Larchmont Police Department. And John, his father, is one of our members. And that was a terrible tragedy, losing four people in a fire.
Absolutely.
And we were there to help, and we're backing them up. And what they need is friends, as well as financial need as well. They get that from us. And we try to help people as much as we can.
Now, I just want to...
By the way, you know, yes, Adrian, I feel a little uncomfortable here sitting at the end of the table. Three Mayo people, one Kerry man.
Yeah.
That's
well, there's nothing wrong with that combination as far as I can. I think that's about right, you know.
Keep going, yeah.
Yeah, imagine what you'd have to put up with if if we had the Sam Maguire this year.
Oh.
Jeez, I'll tell you, you'd have to move back another.
That was my wish that Mayo would win the All-Ireland, yes.
I want to ask you, and I come back to Professor John Feerick. John, a lot of people know Kyle Moore Abbey from the photographs, from the tremendous image and for the Irishness of Kyle Moore Abbey. I doubt that there are many brochures that you can pick up about Ireland and about the attractions that Ireland has to offer without seeing Kyle Moore Abbey. Not that many people that we know personally and in the Irish community might have visited there, because Kyle Moore is not, you know, on the main road to anywhere. If you're going to visit Kyle Moore Abbey out in Connemara, that's a day's work in itself. Isn't there something about Kyle Moore, that the image of Kyle Moore, the photographs about it, there hasn't been a bad one yet, so to speak?
Sisters, many years ago, I had visited, I mentioned my first visit to Ireland, I saw the Abbey, and when my parents died, my mother died the week I saw the Abbey, my father had died some 10 months before. And when I came back, I wanted to do something in a small way. I did something at Fordham Law School recently to honor my parents in Ireland. And I, for some reason, I don't recall how it happened, had visited the Abbey. And my first instinct was to do something in Foxford.
Mm-hmm.
And my second instinct was to do something in Ballinrobe. I said, no, I need a place that not where one or the other was born, that would express their Irish history, and the most beautiful place I saw. I fell in love with the shrine at Knock. Visited on that one week when my mother died. At the end of the week, I visited the shrine four times with an uncle who was in a nursing home. I took him out of a nursing home and took him there, John Boyle. But I also visited the Carmore, and I said that was the most beautiful place I had ever seen. I fell in love with the Gothic church. I fell in love with the paths you walked up in the like the mountain up to see the
right.
Abbey. I was told, and that's why I put their name on a pew. Simple gift, and I was even surprised because I was nobody. I was not known to the sisters. I was not involved with the Abbey. That they would design such a lovely, name of my parents there. So it's on the pew. And then over the years, I took advantage of the beautiful gardens they have among the
fabulous gardens.
Yeah, unbelievable. So I fell in love with the grounds, and Sister Magdalena, former head of the Abbey, said to me that they had a campaign going on 10 years ago or so to establish gardens, and it was supported by the government of Ireland, and they had to raise private money, and I would have made a small gift at that time, but that, she wasn't asking me for a gift. She said, I said, I have to do something because gardens express God's beauty. God's there. It's not a place that I've gone to that everywhere I move around the Abbey and the grounds that I don't see my faith, my religion. And, it's so beautiful. And, I don't see how anybody can go to Ireland and not see Carmore. Justice O'Connor, first woman to serve in the United States Supreme Court, was a part of a program I had organized for Fordham Law School in Ireland. And she said, where should I go, John? And I said, you've got to see Carmore Abbey. She went to the Abbey. She came back and said to me, that's the most beautiful gardens imaginable. And she fell in love with the Benedictine sisters.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine anybody going to Ireland and having a week or so, if you're certainly in the Republic of Ireland, not including Carmore.
Let me ask you about the history and the sisters in Carmore. It was basically a high school was it all girls?
Yes, as I understand.
Yeah.
And they had a woman's, they had a school there, which they closed a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was there, I guess, for a long time. And women would come from the United States and other parts of the world. And I didn't get really involved in the school, so I don't have a lot of history of the school. But I have a history of the grounds and the Benedictine sisters. Sister Maher told me that there's a history of the Benedictine sisters in Ireland that go back centuries, not simply to simply to the 100 years, almost 100 years at the Abbey. And they found the Abbey because they had to leave Central Europe. They had to find a home. And that's the home that they were able to move into back, I think, in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm. It's, friends, as I say, at one time, there were rickety roads going to Carmore, and for those who might be visiting Ireland, if they have not been to Carmore, it is well worth a trip. And again, on the many tours go there. I think a lot of CIE tours,
quite a lot,
and others go there. But I want to focus on Carmore itself, and in particular the sisters, those who are still there. They haven't kind of given up or closed shop. There is as we will get to welcome the sisters when they come back here. Mm-hmm. There's a great determination to continue the Benedictine, their tremendous history and in education and one would say with Ireland and with the downturn of the economy and with all of the struggles that Ireland is going through right now, how the heck are they going to get that, and how are they going to get that off the ground? And We know, and again, I want to defer for a minute to John Feary, Professor John, former dean of the law school. That's a big undertaking. To do something at that level is huge.
Very huge, and my understanding is when they, Sister Magdalena, who's also involved helping with this effort right now, when she was working on the gardens, it seemed to me an impossible dream. And she got a lot of help from the government of Ireland. This is a very important place historically and at present, I believe, for the government of Ireland.
Sure.
So she got a lot of support. She had to raise private money. And my understanding with the particular project right now in terms of the future, Abby, the government will be there to respond to private giving in these different projects. So the two together will make
and
it happen.
We're talking matching funds here, but it is not the easiest sell in the world, where particularly on this side of the Atlantic and in the tri-state area here, there are a great number of organizations who have indeed, they've had more headway in terms of supporting organizations. The Benedictines have only come here very recently, and they have relatively modest goals in terms of raising funds.
Now, friends, there is a special event coming up on December 18th to benefit Kylemore Abbey, and it's taking place at the House of the Redeemer, 7 East 95th Street in Manhattan. It will feature a special performance by entertainer, composer, and songwriter Julie Feeney from County Galway. Space is limited, so we would urge you to visit the website at friendsofkylemoreabbey.com. For more information, email Mary Reed, mreed@friendsofkylemoreabbey.com. Her telephone number, 914-420-3517. Or maybe you'd just like to send a Christmas donation to help the sisters at Kylemore Abbey, and you can send a check payable to the Irish-American Partnership, make reference to Kylemore Abbey Campaign, and mail to 33 Broad Street, Boston, Massachusetts, 02109. Again, the New York event takes place on December 18th. The website is friendsofkylemoreabbey.com.
And I feel very good about having John Feary here today, because all I knew is if we could sit him in front of a microphone, we could definitely then lend some great credibility to this and shove work back on you again, because whatever you do support John Feary, you don't do something unless it's very well worthwhile, and I think this one is.
Thank you very much. These are wonderful sisters. They go back in the order to the Desert Fathers, the 5th or 6th century, and they've proven themselves to the Catholic Church of the world century after century. And they want to keep that spiritual presence strong in Ireland through that order.
I want to thank my guest this morning, former Dean of Fordham Law School, Professor John Feary, and John Mulvihill and Rosemary Kelly, who are representing the Emerald Association of Putnam County. And you are listening to Irish Radio Network USA.